Just to explain to if you're visiting this morning, our churches over the last few weeks have been looking at this letter that St. Paul wrote. It's addressed to a church in Ephesus, which is in Turkey, just across the border from, around the corner from Greece and just round that top corner. Although we think it's a letter that was addressed to a group of churches in that area. Ephesus, this main church to whom it's addressed, was a very well-populated, prosperous, very impressive sort of capital city of the area, the centre of Roman administration. It was connected to the sea by an inland waterway, busy port, lots of money, famous for its temple of Diana, which is one of the seven wonders of the world. It's a five-hour flight, if you want to go and check it out, from Gatwick. If you've got the money and the means to do that, it's real. It's not some sort of vague, abstract idea in the Bible. It's a real place. It's where Paul started a church and also started a riot. And it's where ordinary Christians like you and me were finding out what it means to be a follower of Jesus in their everyday lives. So the question is obvious to me. What's a group of 21st century Christians in Suffolk, in Ipswich? Why are you taking such a serious interest in a letter that was written to Christians living in Turkey, 2,500 miles away, 2,000 years in the past? Surely this is a different world to the one we live in. Well, yeah, they wore different clothes. They didn't have computers. But human nature and human need never changes. And this book of Ephesians is all about God's purpose for every human being then and now. It's about human nature, human need, God's timeless truths. And this week I've been thinking again, watching the news. We are living in a world where everyone's asking, who and what can you actually believe? Well, I believe that this Bible, what God has to say, is not only timeless, it's also trustworthy and reliable. I don't say that because I'm a church minister and I'm paid, well, I'm not paid anymore, but I was paid to say those sort of things. Now, I worked out that this book works as a Christian policeman in the East Midlands for about 16 years, long before I became a minister. So, what's so interesting and special about this book of Ephesians? Well, if you had 20 minutes and a cup of coffee to sit and read through it, you would discover these sort of things. You would discover what Jesus has done and why, and how he can transform your life. You'll discover God's great plans and purposes for your life and how you fit into them. You'll find God's answer to mistrust and division. You'll find God's answer to loneliness. You'll find the privileges and benefits of being a Christian, something we're celebrating in baptism this morning. It'll tell you how to get the best out of your home, your marriage, your workplace. It'll tell you what it means to be church and how you should be involved. It'll show you how to make connections between everyday life and eternity, earth and heaven. In other words, there's more to life than meets the eye. It'll also tell you that what you believe really does affect how you behave, and how you actually behave reveals what you really do believe. That's the sort of stuff that Paul was writing in about AD 60, actually in prison. And whereas most of Paul's letters are to churches who are trying to work out some problems, this particular letter is more about the privilege of being a Christian and the privilege of being church. And that word church is the only thing I want to focus on in that long section that Liz read to us. I'll speak about the rest this afternoon at Bixley Farm. That word church, it'll crop up several times in the baptism service. Listen out for it. For those who are reading your way through Ephesians, look out for it. That word church. And one of the things you will discover is church is not something that we go to. Church is something that we are together. Church is something that we do together. When I was up in Norwich, I had a parish up there, and one of the big churches close to me, Christian Life Centre, was burnt down through arson. And I can remember the pastor coming on local radio to speak about this tragedy that had happened. And he said some amazing things. What he said was, we've lost the building, but we haven't lost the church. Because the church is more than the building. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the gathering together of believers. Sometimes church has been described as a school for sinners who are being changed into saints. A school for sinners being changed into saints. I know as a minister that some of those saints are taking quite a long time to go through this process of being changed from sinners into saints. That's why in church it often gets messy and we make mistakes. It's chapter 4 in Ephesians says, we're a work in progress. Quite often I will hear the allegation, I've heard it before, that we Christians are hypocrites when we meet together in church. That's absolute nonsense. We actually come to church with a very honest and humble attitude because we know what we are and we know we need forgiveness and God's mercy. Members together of God's family is a phrase that will keep coming in this letter to Ephesians. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence, and you are members of God's family. Christian life is not just about believing. It's actually about belonging. Church isn't about being attenders. It's about being members together. And that phrase, each other and one another and together, will come over 50 times at least in the New Testament to remind us that we belong to each other as much as we belong to the Lord Jesus. That's why there's so much emphasis in this book, chapters 4 and 5 and 6, about getting our relationships right. Because that's what matters most to God. Because God is love. The most important lessons he wants you to learn here on earth is how to love like he loves. Life is all about love. That's what matters. And love, life minus love equals nothing. That's why later on in chapter 5, Paul will pull a lot of this stuff that Liz read to us. He's heading towards a line that says, live a life of love just as Christ loved us. It's chapter 5, verse 1, if you're checking it out. In another letter to the church at Galatia, Paul wrote this. Listen to this. Let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we'll harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let's work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Check it out in Galatians 6. Because the question comes to me, why does the New Testament say so much about the saints, that's the people of God, followers of Jesus, giving each other special love and attention? Why should other believers get a priority in our loving? The answer is quite clear. Because God wants his family of believers, the saints together in whatever place, the followers of Jesus gathered together in churches, to be known for the sort of love that they have for each other more than anything else. It's one of our greatest witnesses to the rest of society. And also, as you read through this letter, you'll discover that God wants the saints, his people, the church members, to be in regular, close fellowship and contact and connection with each other, because it's the only way to learn to love the Jesus way. You see, you cannot grow to become more and more like Jesus, which is what God wants for you. You cannot do that in isolation. You have to be around people, real people, imperfect people, irritating, frustrating, annoying, sometimes difficult and disappointing, who are learning together how to forgive and love the Jesus way. Now, I can understand, having been a minister for nearly 30 years, why so many people today have become disillusioned by what they see happening or they think is not happening in many of our churches in the UK. I know that people see us sometimes as irrelevant and as boring. And yet, I also know there are so many people longing for a sense of belonging. Longing for a sense of belonging. Everywhere you look around, there are signs that people are hungry for friendship, for love, for fellowship, for a sense of being family, belonging to a family, belonging to a community, where they're accepted and loved for who they are. I think we have an epidemic of loneliness in the UK. And this longing for belonging provides St. Andrew's with a marvellous, wonderful opportunity. So, St. Andrew's, what are you demonstrating and what are you providing as saints together? That's the phrase Paul would use to describe you. What are you demonstrating and providing as saints together? What are you doing and being as church together which cannot be found anywhere else in this neighbourhood? And for those of you who are perhaps visiting and wondering what on earth I'm talking about, and yet you're curious about this becoming a Christian, and you want to find out more, then at the end of the service, before I go, I have got some booklets. I've lost the one I've got. I've got a booklet in my briefcase. It's free of charge. There's no strings attached. And you've got a bit of time then to just check back on some of the stuff I've introduced to you this morning.